How's that? The seven things. I looked at a couple of commentaries trying to figure out why these seven sins, and they really didn't offer much. So I'm going to give you a couple of ideas. I'm not going to pretend to be as wise as Solomon, because only Jesus was wiser than Solomon. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, of course. But the two things I think, one, he was summarizing what he had previously talked about earlier in the book of Proverbs. Okay? That's one thought. And then another thought is that these sins, they affect others. Okay? Or they lead to sins that affect others. Okay? And if you think about these sins, they do all every one of them. They not just harm you, but they harm others. Okay. All right, so that's my thought. If you have a better idea, please come tell me or raise your hand or whatever, okay? Remember, as we saw last week, God hates sin, and he hates it with a vengeance. I did find this from one commentary. This is what Billy Graham said. It's God's love that prompts him to hate sin with a vengeance. And Billy Graham also said, the church has failed to remind this generation that while God is love, he also has the capacity to hate. He hates sin, and he will judge it with the fierceness of all of his wrath. And we looked at those two scriptures last week. Notice that last one, though, again. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Okay, the seven sins, as they're found in Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. And we're going to look at each one of them. Well, we looked at two of them last week, so we'll summarize those two. And then we'll look at the other five. Okay. Remember, the first one is that God hates the proud look. God hates the arrogant. Hates for us to be arrogant. He's forced to be prideful. And we're talking about the man who says, I don't need you, I don't need God, and I certainly don't need God. Okay? That's the arrogant. And a good example of that was King Herod. What happened to King Herod? He was slain by an angel because he set himself up as a god. Remember, the crowd was shouting, the voice of an angel and not of a God. Not, the voice of a God and not of a man. That's what they shouted. Okay. And he was killed, struck by an angel. Okay. In contrast to that, the Lord loves for us to be humble, wants us to be humble. Just like Jesus who washed the disciples' feet. The first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, then we talked about the lying tongue. The lying tongue. And remember what Jesus said about the lying tongue. Okay. Well, I'll just read the scripture again. Jesus, John 8, 44 through 45. Jesus said to them, you are the father, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay? So the liar is the son of the devil. That's what he was saying. And he was condemning the Pharisees for lying about him. Okay? Today people lie because they want to gain an advantage, don't they? Okay. But honesty is the best policy. Honesty is always the best policy. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only for a moment. Okay? All right, the third one. And this is straight out of Proverbs 6. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. What are we talking about? Murder, yeah. I thought surely some more than just Harry would shout that out. But yeah, we're talking about murder. Premeditated murder. Okay. No hesitation murder. Okay. And one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit murder. We often think of this as being the worst of sins. But here it's not listening to a third one, probably because the other two can lead to this. Okay? Pride certainly can. And another thing, look at Leviticus 19:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. So Moses knew that blood, without blood, one cannot live, okay? All right. Genesis 9:6. Also notice Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Okay? So, God has a very high regard for life, doesn't he? Very high regard for life. Today, we might say man doesn't. Man has very little regard for life. But God certainly does. Okay, in his own image, man is created. Another scripture, Romans 8:32 says, for he who did not spare his own son, how shall he not freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Okay, so therefore, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. God hates murder. Okay. Next one. The heart that devises wicked schemes. Heart that devises wicked schemes. What sort of picture do you get when you read that? What's the picture you see?
That's somebody who could justify doing something that's bad, hateful, or spiteful because they think they're serving some greater good of some kind. They're going to sin now so they can expose somebody who's worse or do something. It's the type of person who thinks the ends justify the means.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you start scheming.
I'm sorry?
I said that's how you start scheming, is you think the ends will justify your
means. Ah, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Do you also not get the picture of someone who's constantly thinking about that? that's the picture I had. Devises wicked schemes. Okay. In Hosea said that people of Israel were like a trained heifer. That is, a heifer that was constantly sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping evil. Okay. Person like who was doing that. Constantly sowing and reaping evil. So he compared the Israelites to being like that trained heifer. And now notice Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Okay? That kind of suggests what you were saying, doesn't it? Keep your heart with all diligence. Okay? Couldn't we also say that from a heart, it's decide who we will be and what we become. Who will be, what we become, yeah. And Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure, who can understand it? So again, guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. Okay. So what would be an opposite of that? What would be the opposite trait that we should want to be? Okay. No one? All right. Remember this scripture from Philippians? Your Bible may say a different mind does. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, and lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Okay. Meditate on worthy things. Think on worthy things. That, by the way, that picture, I don't know, maybe some of you recognize that, but that's in Arkansas. You can go to Arkansas and see that. It's not a long drive, it's only about 3 hours, but once you get there, you got to hike about an hour to get there. Don't do it in the middle of summer like I did. Also, I wanted to mention that let me go back to that. So we want to think about worthy things. And in one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay? Keep guard your heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Feet that run swiftly to evil. Feet that run swiftly to evil. Okay. So what's the difference between this and those who have a scheming heart?
Put it into action.
Putting it into action. These are the people that are actually doing it. Both of them are wrong, of course, but this is the one that's actually doing it. Okay, I want to read part of Proverbs in an earlier chapter. If you've got your Bibles, turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, I'm going to read beginning with verse 10. Okay, Solomon writes, my son, okay, and he's talking about those who are less wise when he says, my son. He says, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. And whole, like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. Okay. Pretty descriptive, isn't it? Pretty descriptive. Okay. He doesn't spare words there, okay? Rushing into evil. Swiftly running to evil. Okay. And we could also look at Isaiah 59:7, where Isaiah talked about the Israelites in his generation. Notice what he says. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Okay. Many of the Israelites, they killed the innocent just to gain their property. That was going on at the time. And so Isaiah condemned that, just as Solomon did earlier. Okay, so what would be an opposite behavior? How about those who bring good tidings? Those who bring good tidings. I failed to write down the scripture on this. I think it's Isaiah. Yeah, I got it here in my notes now. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Okay. Paul also repeated that later on, Romans 10:15. Okay, we're going through them pretty fast. Any thoughts, comments? Number six, the sixth one. The Lord abhors the false witness. The Lord abhors the false witness, or hates those who witness falsely. What's a good example of that? Those who testified against Jesus falsely? Yeah, yeah. Excellent. I think that's what the picture's showing too. Remember, false witnesses were brought in and testified against Jesus, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Okay. And notice what Proverbs says about them. A false witness will not go unpunished. He who speaks lies will not escape. Many other examples in the Bible. Many other examples. I got three of them up there on the screen. In 1 Kings 21, 13 through 14, a vineyard owner by the name of Naboth, he was stoned to death by the testimony of two false witnesses. Queen Jezebel set that up. She arranged that. You could go and read the story about that. But That's in 1 Kings 21. Queen Jezebel set that up. Why? Because she was wanting the property. She was wanting that vineyard of Naboth. Jeremiah chapter 33. False prophets refute the prophecy of Jeremiah. Okay. There are many examples of false prophets, but here's this one from Jeremiah. They claim to have a word from God, but their word was false because it refuted what Jeremiah was teaching. Jeremiah knew it, and he said that you do not follow the words of these false prophets. And then what happened to Stephen? He was stoned to death, wasn't he? Stephen was stoned to death because of false prophets. False witnesses. We have heard him say blasphemous words against Moses and God. Okay? That's what the false witnesses said. Okay? Right. Now, the way it was set up in the beginning, if truth was to be established, it was to take two witnesses. Two witnesses were required for truth to be established. Deuteronomy 19:15 says, "One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. But by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established." Okay, so what's that saying? What's that telling us? You got to have the proof, and you got to have two people, at least two people testify, right? Okay. Now, later on in Matthew, Jesus said, "But if he will not hear," and it's talking about going and talking to a brother, isn't it? Okay. And that's what Jesus said. "But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." Okay. So again, the thought is that it must be proven, it must be verified by more than one witness. Okay. Must be stated by more than one witness. Okay. But remember, the false witness is condemned. False witness is condemned. The Lord hates that. Okay, the very last one. Very last one. It looks like we're going to get done tonight. Okay? Sowing, the one who sows discord among the brethren. The Lord hates that. I call him the troublemaker. Why does God hate people that cause trouble? Why does he hate that sin, those that cause trouble? Well, I think James tells us very well. Okay? That's what James said. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires of battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight." So you quarrel and you fight. Okay, so what's he saying? Why do we quarrel? Why do people quarrel?
Because they can't get what they want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or they're jealous, or they're envious. Okay? They desire what they can't have. Okay? All right. covet, but you can't get it. So you just quarrel. Also, we could go to Leviticus, and it talks about those who gossip, those who slander. Okay? You shall not go as a slanderer or as a gossiper. And again, the Lord hates those who sow discord. Well, what can we say about our nation today? We're good at it. Okay. We are good at conflict. We are good at strife. And it's not just party against party, is it? No. Okay. And people are almost, it's like they enjoy it. And you read about it every day, hear about it every day, hear about it in towns and cities. But don't be the one who starts it or the one who encourages it. Okay? The Lord abhors that. He abhors those who sow discord. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. Much depends on you. And we summarize that with the Beatitude, the very last Beatitude. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called sons of God. Be the peacemaker and not the troublemaker. Okay. That's all I have. Anybody have any thoughts? Anything you want to add? Yeah, Josh.
Just encourage it, you know, if there's ever something bubbling up between brethren and it's not going in a good direction, that maybe everybody should stop talking and maybe just to go home for the night or something, because sometimes continuing down that road is not a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. What Paul said about it, as much as possible, be at peace with other men. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And don't share that, the problem with others. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just anytime Christians are headed in a direction to not act like Christians towards one another is just a bad place to be. We all need to take a deep breath, and honestly, the very best thing that we can do in that situation is to pray together, because anytime you're in prayer, you're not, you know, nipping at one another. So, I don't know. I've been in situations before, and honestly, I was a young Christian, but there were some leadership in the room when the stuff was going on, and I look back now and I wish that the leadership would have stopped everybody. Everybody needs to stop, take a chill pill. And instead, it just continued on and on, and it just was not good. It was It was very unhealthy. And it still hurts me today to think about that situation, you know, brethren acting ugly toward one another.
Uh-huh. I like that idea. Just stop and pray.
Bruce, nobody gets up one morning and thinks they're going to be the troublemaker. I think it's what we need to understand. It's only later that you realize I was sowing discord. I was assigning motivation to my brother without asking him what his motivation was. I was sure he was bad and wrong. And so I think to the extent possible, we just need to be very careful talking about somebody in the third person and very careful assigning motivations to their actions, because those are the things that you could live to regret. And if you're the troublemaker, then I hope I live to regret it, because the alternative is unthinkable.
Good thought. Anyone else? Okay. Well, let's close with a prayer then. Let's close with prayer. Why don't we do that? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Solomon here in the book of Proverbs. We thank you for letting us have this time to discuss the sins that you do not want to see and you want discouraged among us. We want to strive to please you, Lord. And we pray that we will always strive to do that. And we will encourage and we teach the young to go away from these sins. And Lord, we want to follow you, follow your way, be as much like Christ as we can. Live a life of peace with our brethren. Live a life that's where we are honest with our brethren. And we seek the best for our brethren also. And seek for the best for people as well. Lord, thank you for this time of the year. Thank you for this season. Thank you for your son and that you sent him. Thank you for all your blessings. And Lord, we ask that you forgive us. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.